So I'm going to just touch on Nehemiah this morning, but I'm just going to warn you, expect the unexpected this morning. Okay, if a stranger, I should pray, shouldn't I? Yeah, Lord, I just pray, Father, as that we can be receptive to your words this morning. That, Father, that your Holy Spirit will just stir us afresh as we all receive your words. Amen. So if a stranger was to walk into, was to ask you, what sort of church do you belong to? Or do you attend? How would you describe us? It's rhetorical, by the way. Are we friendly? Are we offensive? Are we loving? Are we inward looking? Are we outward looking? Are we ready to go wherever God says? So if God says go there, we go. Are we that sort of church? Are we a church that's actually stuck in the mud, unwilling to change? Are we a church that feel equipped? Do we feel equipped to do mission? Do we feel restricted or do we feel unsupported? There's so many different variations of church. We had a training day yesterday. Me and Susie went down to Las Vegas. We didn't get a picture by the sign, but we did go to Bazardon. And it was a really good morning. It was really good, actually. Really good relationship building with local ministers. It was really good. Really helpful. To be honest, probably the best one I've attended. So that said something. And it was teaching on the pain of being in leadership and also some practical elements of doing church on a Sunday. And Mark Barford, I don't know if you know, I think you do know him, Mark and Claire, they've been here before. He used to play against Bethel football team many years ago. He's obviously he doesn't now, but he used to many years ago. And he said something that really stuck in my mind. When he was called to the church in Basildon 20 years ago, God told him to build a church that he would attend. I think they're good words. We're all part of the team, aren't we? And if we enjoy it, we come along week after week. If we don't, ta-da. There's many different variations of church. Anyway, he shared this quote, and I'd never heard it before, so I thought I'd share it with you. We have permission to change the wrapping, but not the ingredients. So to unpack that, so there is flexibility on how we do church, how we do church into the community. But we never change the Word of God. Amen? So we stand on the Word of God, but sometimes that can mean... And so if you go to Witham, there are many different variations of church. Yeah, I think we're the best one. Amen? Yeah? But I'm sure those in their churches will say theirs is best. I don't think they're telling the truth. They haven't been here yet. But there is many different variations. And that's fine. You know, we're not all the same, are we? You know, we all smell different. So it's a case of if someone likes to somewhere to be reflective and quiet and an organ, hallelujah, there's plenty of them. He says someone where they want to just be a bit louder can come here. Many different variations. That's what the body of Christ is so amazing. So what I'm going to share today is that I was challenged by the words Nehemiah. And so I wanted to put the challenge out to you. So let's begin. Let's begin in the past. Our past is important to us, for we learn lessons from the past. Some things we repeat, don't we? And others we do not. But we know who we are. But to know who we are, we need to understand where we've been. Okay, so it's no good, for instance, no good reading the New Testament and saying, I've read the Bible. Because the Old Testament talks about how that God built his people, about that Jesus is the Messiah. If you don't know that he's the Messiah, you need to know the background before you know what's happened, if you know what I mean. Do you get that? Yeah. Okay. It worked. So life is like this, and things repeat, don't they? So we have a good foundation which we're built upon. And time has a habit of repeating cycles. So for example, in the 80s, okay, I was born in 1975, so in the 80s, I think I was about 6 or 7, the fashion back then was these really tight, skinny jeans. Now, it wasn't the material that we have today. You know, they're a bit more flexible. They give a bit more love. They were rigid. And so when I had to put them on, it was a proper mission. And to take them off, you literally have to peel them off and stand on them. And that was that was like the ceremony to get my jeans on. And that was fashion back then. Right? Do you know what? That come back in. Yeah, that come back in. Yeah, and I looked at it and I tried on a pair of skinny jeans. And I was like, no way, Chris. No way. Well, you look like a palm tree with a very big coconut. So, it doesn't make it wrong, though, does it? There's nothing wrong with that. You know, just because I choose not to doesn't make it wrong. And so that is my example, that things come and change. And it's the same with church. And there's so many ways of doing something. And some things might have been done before and failed. But it would be very dishonouring to God if we were to take a view that we know that if we did it today, it'd fail. It's God who gives us the ability, God who gives us the vision to reach the people. And he's the one who's sovereign and not us. So actually, we might have tried something before and it failed, but we try it again and it happens. You know, and we reach people. We learn from our mistakes, but we also move forward in God, following what is God's will. I'll give you another example. So I'm a former Dag. Susie said you might not understand this. I'm a Dagnamite. Yeah? Okay, I'm from Dagenham. I lived 3 clicks in Narm. It's like a battleground, but I love it, to be honest. And some would say I'm a little rough around the edges. Some would say my face was a little rough around the edges. Well, actually, they've told me. Especially when I shaved my hair. Now, 30 years ago, I would never have been pastor here. Okay, because Witten was different then. It's true, isn't it? Witten was completely different then. And that's not saying anything about yesteryears. It's just saying the truth is a lot of people have migrated out from London. And so I'm the perfect person for it, in my opinion. And I'll go under God's calling. That I'm the person called by God to lead this church for that reason. But because Whittam's in a different stage of life now. So what I'm trying to say here is that we all have a purpose. Nobody's here by accident. So each and every one of you are here. You have a gift that is here to build the body of Christ. It's not here to keep to oneself. It's here to build the body. And we're not here by accidents. And in truth, if we're not pushing ourselves and living inside a comfort zone, then we're dishonouring God. Because we kind of, you know, everyone who believes in here, we bent our knee, didn't we? We bent our knee when we accepted Jesus and we said to him, have your way. Not my way, have your way. And he becomes the centre of our life and everything flows from him. And of course, we follow what God is saying, not what man says, or the past shed says we should do. Or, because we stand on that word. And that word, as you know, is quite challenging at times. How many times have you read a piece of scripture and you've gulped? I said, really? Okay. So the past is important for all the information and wisdom it holds, but you can get lost in it. You've got to learn to keep knowledge of the past with you as you pursue the present. Lessons to learn. So we all know the story of the, I'm assuming everyone knows, okay, but we all know the story of the Israelites. We know about Abraham, we know about Isaac, Jacob, we know that they went to Egypt, we know they were taken into captivity. We know then that 400 years later that Moses led the people out of Egypt. We then know that the people sinned. We know that they wandered in a desert for 40 years. And then we get to a point where the mantle of leadership is handed over to Joshua. And he took them into the promised land. So after taking the territory that was promised to the God's people, remember we're looking at the past here, but this is quite a pinnacle point for the Israelites. So Joshua 24 says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it for us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord for himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt, from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs beyond our eyes, before our eyes. He protected us on the entire journey from among all the nations through which we travelled, and the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make you an end to you after he had been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." So the people of Israel were given a choice to serve the Lord or not. They were given a choice. And the truth is, the three times they said, "We will serve the Lord." And for them, it meant giving up idols, so other gods, which they were putting before God. As we read on through the Bible further, God continues to build his people with many wins and losses as the territory of Israel has grown. And there's good judges, there's good kings, there's good prophets, but there's also bad kings. There's those who took them away, the people of Israel, away from what they promised before the Lord, that we shall serve the Lord. So after warning, God does what he said, and he takes them out of the promised land, and they are exiled. Then 70 years later, God stirs King Cyrus of Persia. Now, King Cyrus is a real king as well. It's actually a tomb in Iran, because Persia is in Iran. They was exiled over 1,400 miles from where they lived. It's quite a distance to travel on foot. And so King Cyrus of Persia instructs the Israelites to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And he allowed those who want to go back to Jerusalem to go. The tribes of Judah, Benjamin, return with others as well, totaling about 50,000. And this is covered in the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra is the start of the return of the exiled people of God to the promised land. In the book of Ezra, we read how they built the temple. We now arrive at Nehemiah. I just felt that we needed a little recap of the whole Bible to understand the dynamics of why we're here. We arrive at Nehemiah, which is what we're looking at. This story is how the wall and the city is fortified. But it begins with one man, Nehemiah. It begins in his heart and it overflows. And let's have a look at how it unfolds and what lessons that we can learn from his heart. The narrative begins with Nehemiah hearing the news of the plight of the place of Jerusalem, his heritage, Jerusalem. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, bear in mind, rough edges. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, do you know what? Keep going, yeah? Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Did you hear that? He mourned for days. He cried out, he fasted, he prayed for a nation which is 1,400 miles away. He was burdened by his heritage. How many lessons can we learn from that moment in history? He hears that his people in trouble, that the promised land, the rebuild of the promised land is in effect failed to flourish, and the people were in disgrace. What a strange word, disgrace. What? And the walls have been burned down, so he wept and sought God. God is a mighty God. Amen? And he can move mountains. Yeah, and we go through trials in life, and they're our mountains. But this is a mountain that Nehemiah's got to climb. But we do need to seek him. When we have a desire for something which is troubling. We're a troubled nation. Would you agree with that? I'd say we're a troubled nation. We're a nation that's fallen away. People mock God. People take his name in vain. And every single turn, the church is scrutinized. Every turn. And so we need to be praying. We need to be praying for this. Like Nehemiah, we need to be praying for a shift, a change in the atmosphere, a change in the dynamics of this nation. We need to pray for the hearts to be softened for the gospel. Praying for, feels like the only place people can't talk about money is church sometimes. But do you know what? Have you seen the wealth that the Church of England's got? How many buildings they have? Yeah. So that's why I'm going to pray that actually there's a release of funding so that we can build more churches, that more people, we can impact more people. If God is God, which I'm pretty sure he is, well, I know he is, he has all the funds in the universe at his disposal. So Sometimes it's maybe our faith that isn't strong enough to ask for more. Because the truth is, there's people out there who are going to eternal damnation, aren't they? If you don't know Jesus, he won't know you. That's what he says in his word. But he does say that there will be a rebellion. It seems familiar to look around. Have you seen the size of the harvest out there? How many people come up to you where in your environment, whether work, home, school, wherever you do life, and at times ask you about your faith? I find it's a lot. I don't know if it's just me, but I find it's a lot. People are hungry for the spiritual, and they try to seek the spiritual in other places. So like mediums, they go to the other side to try and seek the spiritual things of God. But we have this huge abundance of wealth of the Holy Spirit here. And that is, he is the ultimate spiritual. So Nehemiah, go back to Nehemiah, he prays. Then I said, Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. Hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed your command, the commands, decrees and laws that you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you are exiled, your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them up from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was a cupbearer to the king. So Nehemiah is confessing his wrongdoing. I'm pretty sure he can't speak on behalf of the nation, but he is. He's part of the nation, so he's confessing. He's confessing for his family, for him. And he's echoing, in effect, the prayer of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But at the end, it does say that I am the cupbearer. So this man has a voice to speak to the king. The king is in authority and he has a voice. So then we read on that King Artaxerxes and Nehemiah know each other well. And that the king notices that Nehemiah is sad. How amazing is that? That the king of all this grand place, he notices that his cupbearer is sad. He must have known him. God appointed him, placed him in that place for a reason. And then we read in Nehemiah 2 that he gets permission to rebuild the city walls. And of course there's opposition. It normally is when God is moving. How are we as a church for change and embrace in the future? If God was to say tomorrow, I want you to build a building, what would you bring? Tea? Yeah? It's part of needing a building, you need tea. But what would we bring? money, their resources. If God said, spoke in a clear voice and said, I want to build a building for my people, we would have to respond, wouldn't we? And that, it's not just money, it'd be time. It would be actually finding a building. There would need to be prayer for God to show us where to build. And that, I mean, that's hypothetical, but that's a good point, that we are the children of God, and we gave everything to God when we surrendered ourselves to Him. And so everything we do for God should be the best that we can possibly do. Amen? So moving on, just going to pause 30 seconds. Right, so while I was writing this sermon, God spoke to me in a real audible voice that rattled through my whole head. And he shared a word for the church. And he said, at this point in the sermon, I want you to stop. He said, I'm going to interrupt the talk. And so the sermon's going to stop. Next, I'll continue it next Sunday evening. But I felt so strongly about this word that is for the church that I will be obedient to when God does share a word. I've not added or taken away anything from the word. But after I share it, because I'm not going to talk afterwards, but it'd be between you, us and God. But after the word's been shared, if you need to come to the cross, come to the cross. If you need to confess sin to one another, then do that. That's between you and God. If you want God, then come. There's an opportunity here this morning. We've had extended worship. There's an opportunity here this morning to respond in spirit and truth. If you're here this morning, never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then today's your day. If you have never been baptised in the Holy Spirit, today's your day. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know it sometimes gets messy. So all I say is just come and get Him. The word reads as follows. My truth is coming, and this is going to shake you up. Be prepared, get ready, for when my spirit falls, you shall know. When he pours out, you shall see the miracles, the dead raised. Healings are a sign, but you shall see a fruit from the harvest like you've never seen before. I'm going to grow my church. I'm going to make you magnets, my children who come from far away from me, who are far away from me, will return in a way of splendor. You will be my witnesses, but you need to bow your knee to me. For I am the creator of heaven and earth. I birthed this nation. I spoke and breathed life. My son is the sacrifice in which you stand upon. He took it all for you, and you have forgotten what that cost us. I sent my prophets. I sent my son, and they still did not believe. Their hearts are hardened, but I'm now about to do a new thing. This new thing is going to blow your mind on understanding. You will never be the same, but you need to bow your knee. Nehemiah bowed his knee to plead for his people. It's time that you took me seriously. I'm not an add-on, but I'm the center of every breath that you take. If you want me, then accept my son and follow. Give everything to him. I am calling you out today to step into a new place. This means taking my word seriously. This means talking to me. This means doing what I created you to be. Remove them idols from your life or I will. You were saved to be my witnesses and you are dead to self. Give up any selfish ambition and serve me. I have no favourites, but I love you. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of one of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to the eternal life. So we're going to reflect on that. It's up to you. If you want to respond, it's up to you. But I'm going to ask the band to come up.